This is the Carolina Catholic Radio Homily of the Day, featuring Father Herbert Burke of Immaculate Conception Church of Forest City, North Carolina.
You know, when I was a little boy, I remember my dad. You know, my dad was a classical piano player and teacher, and he loved, of course, you know, guys like Beethoven, Mozart, Chopin, and through him, I began to love those guys, and so he would often put a record on Sunday afternoon, playing a symphony or something, and he'd be lying on the couch on his side, and it always struck me as a wonderfully peaceful thing, you know, the music and pop lying there, you know, taking a break at peace at last, and so, you know, this is when I was really little, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years old. So Pop would be on his side, his arm like this, and then I would kind of look and calculate my spot, and I would just kind of crawl up in there, and there I was, plugged right in, you know. I'd have my head on his arm and stuff, and I imagine when he woke up, didn't I go to sleep by myself? I have a visitor. And I like to think it brought him happiness. It certainly brought me happiness. And so, you know, there was a joy that I had just being around my dad. And I loved my mom too, but you know, as a guy, you tend towards your dad, your role model, you know. How do you learn how to be a guy? From your dad, you know. And I feel bad for people who have had bad relations with their father and mother. I feel very bad about that. I somehow was blessed with really good parents. So as we look at our scriptures, the beginning ones, we see these lines here from King David in the Psalm. You have made me known to the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Abounding joy in your presence, the delights at your right hand forever. O God, for in you I take refuge. And so, you know, what was my dad? My dad was everything to me when I was a little guy. You know, he was my protector. He was my teacher. He was my provider, you know. It was Pop that decided we're going to go to the beach, or we're going to go see, you know, Aunt Frances and Uncle Neil, and they had this boat, and we got to go out in this boat up there in upstate New York, and it was kind of neat. So there's a certain joy we have in relationships, someone who, when we are close to them, it brings us happiness. Now, I've never been married, and I'm going to assume, for safety's sake, we're going to stick to the first week or two of marriage. I'm going to assume that in marriage, it starts out pretty good, and there's a beautiful thing in romantic love that has reciprocity. You love one another, not just a one-way thing, you know, where I often experience in high school where there'd be a girl who's gorgeous, and I kind of sit there and stare at her, and who knows what she thought about me. I had one of them come and sit down next to me in lunchtime and start talking to me about how I had a heart attack. So, but anyway, you know, eventually I learned not to be so afraid of women. But so there's the love that we have for our father and mother, the love the fathers and mothers have for sons and daughters. And my brother and sister, I love my brother and my sister. There's that love growing up together, helping one another. You know, there's the romantic love, and there's friendship love. There's, you know, my buddies growing up. You know, one of the happiest things in high school, get together with my buddies. You know, we do stuff together, and there was a joy of being with them. Now, the ultimate joy in being near someone is with God. Now, one of the things I believe, not revealed to me, just a sense I have from theology and whatnot, is that when we pass from this world and we meet God finally, there's going to be an aspect to it where we're going to have this sense that we have known him all along, and the veil is lifted. All of the love that we have known from family and friends and whatever, he was intimately connected to and the prime mover behind it. How does your father get the power to love you? God gives him the power, and your mother and everyone else that loves you. He guides them. He helps them. And the same thing with your love. Where is the power of love? Thank you, Huey Lewis in the news. It is God, the prime mover of all love. His love is in its origin in God alone. And then he shares love with us in various ways. So I think that when we meet God face to face, there's going to be a veil that's lifted, and there's going to be a familiarity with God that we have known him all along. And he's no stranger. He's been there. And I think as we grow in a life of prayer and study of God's words and the saints and Eucharistic adoration, that veil that sort of blocks us from fully understanding who God is and where he is and how his love works into my life and heart, it's slowly lifted through a life of prayer and adoration. And so the importance of prayer, I try constantly to teach people, you know, new ways to understand prayer. What, you know, and like, oh, just bored saying prayers and prayer, you know, whatever. But if you give prayer a chance, you will find a little ember of joy beginning to burn in your heart, and it will grow. And as time goes on, it will become more powerful, and there will be a joy that you have when you come into the church and realize you're in the presence of God. You are here with Jesus Christ himself. And our gospel today teaches us things. And so notice how they said, were not our hearts burning within us when we were with him? And so they didn't recognize him. And that's kind of the way it is with us. A lot of the love that God shows us through providence and kindness that we miss, that we forget to even say thank you for, you know, it's coming from him. And he's giving us that burning fire of love in his sacred heart. So these guys are walking along with Jesus, and he hides himself on purpose. They don't recognize him. And they have a discussion, and Jesus gives a beautiful seminar on how he fulfills the prophecies in Scripture and why it was necessary. And that's a powerful word. That's why I have it on the wall up there. Luke 24 got two spots, there and there. It was necessary that the Christ should suffer these things in order to enter into his glory. Because then when I read that, I'm thinking, uh-oh, Jesus never sinned. I got a few doozies in my list. So if he had to suffer to enter into his glory, I guess I got to suffer to join him in his glory. So I got to carry a cross too. So he suffered for my sins because he didn't have any. So guess what? I'm going to suffer for my sins. There's someone with my name on it, and I'm going to have to, you know, connect to the cross to the extent that God has planned in order for me to enter into the benefit that he gained for me on the cross. It's not just him on the cross. He says, you cannot be my disciple unless you deny yourself daily, take up your cross and follow me. How do we deny ourselves? One of the biggest things is when we deny ourselves 5, 10, 15 minutes a day for prayer to God, to get to know him better, to prepare ourselves. Because, you know, we got to understand, we get to heaven, it's not like there's going to be a Ferrari waiting for you, okay? I think one famous Hollywood person had themselves buried in a Cadillac or something, which I think is kind of ridiculous, as if, you know, at the resurrection we go back to the life that we knew here. That's gone forever. The life of sin, the life of worldly glory, gone forever, ain't never, ever coming back. No reruns. The new life. The life of heaven is not about external things, beach house, whatever. It's about internal joy by being in the presence of God. What do we see here? You will fill me with joy in your presence. The Lord will be ever before me. At his right hand, I shall not be disturbed. So the idea of peace. Keep me, O Lord, for I take refuge in you. I said to the Lord, my Lord, you are, O Lord, my allotted portion and my cup. My cup, the chalice of the precious blood, which unites us to the Lord. His suffering to our suffering, his life to our life. You will, I'm reading here from Psalm 16 or Psalm today. You will show me the path to life. That's the gospel. The life of prayer, the rosary, Eucharistic adoration. Abounding in joy in your presence. and delights at your right hand forever. That's what we want. That's what heaven is. The joy of heaven consists in being with God, finally, forever, at peace, united to Him, His life, His joy, His beauty, our beauty, everything. But it's not going to happen there unless we do what we got to do here. So what does Jesus do in the gospel today? They're walking along and he's being ninja Jesus. He's not letting them know who he is. And he's teaching them about the scripture. Then they get there and what does he do? He starts to do a mass. It's right here. Luke 24. We notice the words phrasing and the sequence is from the Eucharistic institution narrative. So he's not just like, hey, here's a piece of bread and put some butter on it. Yeah, it tastes good. Now, he took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them. Then what happens? Their eyes are open and they knew him. There's Jesus. This whole time we've been walking, we didn't know he was right there. Just like we walk through life and we don't realize that God is right there, we are never alone. We often feel so lonely, but he's right there. So boom, there's Jesus, there's the Eucharist. They knew him in the breaking of bread. What does he do? He disappears. Why? Trying to teach him, I'm the best magician, magic act? No. He's teaching them that he's now going to ascend into heaven, and the presence that they need to recognize is in the Eucharist, the real presence. That is how he will be with us. So they were able to see him with their eyes, see his face and everything like that, but then he's gone. With their eyes, they see what appears to be bread. But we know from the constant teaching of Jesus throughout the scriptures, especially John 6, the bread that I will give to you for the life of the world is my flesh. I am the living bread come down from heaven. I am the bread of life. Got it right there. John 6, right there. You can sit there and read it all day long. The words of institution. This is my body, which we've given up for you. It's in the stained glass window. So I've got all these Eucharistic quotes around the altar on purpose so that we are recognizing, being taught, and growing in our faith in the real presence. Now, we're called to have a relationship with Christ. But one of the other things is a relationship with Christ as he is in the Eucharist. He disappeared and left them with the bread, and they recognize him in the breaking of the bread. Do we recognize him in the breaking of the bread? That's the biblical term for the Mass. That's the term used by St. Luke, and he uses it not only in the Gospel of Luke, but in the Acts of the Apostles. Because what do they do when Jesus ascended in heaven? Sit around and play cards? I don't know, what do you want to do, Larry? Let's play a game of cards. No, it says they continued in the teaching of the apostles, church teaching, the study of God's word, the scripture, and what else did they do along with the teachings of the church and the study of God's word? They continued in the breaking of the bread. That's what they did until Pentecost. And did they stop after that? Heck no. They did it with even greater knowledge and power because the Holy Spirit had come. It's called the Mass. It's what they did. It's what Jesus did. It's what we do. It's how we recognize him in the breaking of the bread. It's the presence of Christ. He's right here. If we're going to be his disciples, according to the biblical teaching and the historical accounts of the church, we need to be in love with the Eucharist. We need to grow in our relationship with the Eucharist. Now, when I was 16, I remember reading John 6 again and again. I thought, wow, okay, it's real clear that Jesus is telling us about the real presence, but I'm not really getting it in my heart. I'm getting it in my mind, okay? He says he's there. But when I'm in the presence of the Eucharist, nothing's really happening. Other than I'm intellectually recognizing he says it, so he's there. But I didn't feel anything in my heart. Now, I got sick one time. I get mad at God when I get sick. I don't know about you, but come on, God, what is the deal? What am I going to gain? Just, making me lay here and do nothing like a useless lump. I get pretty frustrated, complain. I'm a whiner. So I'm lying here in bed, 16, whining. I actually wanted to go to school. What kind of nerd was I? But laying home sick in bed wasn't exactly fun. It's not like riding my bike. So I didn't have anything to do. And I had this bunch of cassette tapes of a retreat given by Bishop Sheen to a bunch of Irish priests in Ireland. And I said, I'll listen to this. I can't do anything else. So in it, he talked about the holy hour, Eucharistic adoration. I never heard it before. Anywhere, school, high school, Catholic high school, Catholic elementary school, church, never heard it. So I had free time. We had a beautiful church, St. Mary's. I hope they haven't closed it. I think they may be closing it. Beautiful stone Gothic church, St. Mary's in Perth Amboy. And they even had a unique mural. Our Lady of Perth Amboy was there over the entrance. And she was kind of there with boats and things because Perth Amboy is has a port. It's right on the ocean there. So I would go over during my study time, instead of sitting in the library and sleeping in front of a book, I would go over there and pray the rosary in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And I can't pinpoint a time, but at some point there was an event that clicked in my heart, mind, and soul, and I started to really feel a sense of the presence of God. As I said, we're not our hearts burning within us. And it's never stopped. In fact, every time I've made a holy hour since then, it has grown in my heart. And so that's one of the reasons, I encourage, along with the rosary, because we get Mary's prayers, join ours, and it's an extra boost spiritually. Along with the rosary, I encourage Eucharistic adoration. So that's why we have many opportunities. Before Mass, we have the Blessed Sacrament out, and we have the chapel. You got the code. You can go over there. If you don't know the code, just ask me. I'll tell you. It's the same date as the miraculous metal apparition. So the thing is that when we meet Jesus, and that's going to be a big moment. You may not be thinking about it, but I think about it a lot. One of these days, your ticker's going to stop ticking. And you're going to breathe your last breath, and out of the body you go into the presence of God for all eternity. You're going to be ready? Is that a happy moment? Are you going to see Jesus? And I'm so happy to see you, Jesus. I've spent my life studying your word. I've spent my life praying in your presence in the Blessed Sacrament, getting to know you. I've spent my life in prayer, and I've spent my life struggling to carry my cross and obey you. And now here we are, finally together forever. Let me be in your kingdom. Let me have a seat in your heavenly kingdom. What does it say here in the scriptures? The Lord is ever before me. He's ever before us now. We just don't realize it yet. With him at my right hand, I shall not be disturbed. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Abounding joy in your presence and the delights at your right hand forever. That's heaven. That's what we're working on, folks. But it ain't going to work right when we get there if we don't do what we got to do while we're here. And so that's why me, Handy, the priest, the church, encourage you to pray the rosary, study the scripture, get close to God, spend time in the presence of our Eucharistic Lord in adoration, so that on the day that you die, it's going to be a great day. Because you're going to be happy forever, and there'll be no more suffering, sorrow, no more misery with God forever. And the nightmares of this life will be gone forever. And of course, if we don't do what we're supposed to do, the meeting could go south, a lot worse. And we don't want to have that moment. We want the moment we meet God face to face in our first minute in eternity to be a happy moment that will last forever. So let's do our best not to get too discouraged by the challenges of the spiritual life and the chores of prayer and adoration and the rosary and things like that and resisting temptation, because it's all going to make a whole lot of sense when we finally stand in front of the Lord and recognize him as the one who has been there and loved us and provided for us all along. and heaven will be the continuation of that, only on a much greater level.
This has been the Carolina Catholic Radio Homily of the Day on Carolina Catholic Radio Charlotte, 1270 AM, also streaming at carolinacatholicmedia.org and on the Carolina Catholic Media app.